What is going on, everybody? You are listening to Jumpmaster, the number one Apex Legends podcast brought to you by OKBeast.com. I'm your Jumpmaster today, Alex Van Aken, and joining me this week is my squad mate, Andrew Taylor, a.k.a. Papa Drew Bear. What is going on, Andrew?
How is it going? I just realized today when we were texting back and forth that we were going to record tonight. I realized I hadn't been on an episode since like October. So it's been a bit.
But you've been playing the game. Yes. We play together a lot.
Yes.
You've been in the wings waiting.
Yes.
Of course, if you're listening, you might be wondering where the heck have you guys been? I posted an update earlier to the same feed. You can go listen to it. But essentially, there's been a lot going on in the past month that has prevented me from sitting down and recording and kind of editing this show. I was sick for like what's essentially like a month straight. I couldn't eat any food, which was not a good time. And just lost willpower. And then I had to go out of town for 3 weeks for the holidays because I worked remotely. It's been busy. And then on top of that, Blessing actually got hired by Kinda Funny. That's something we've known about for a long time now, but couldn't talk about. And so all of those things essentially equated to a very busy December and unfortunately couldn't make it happen. I apologize. If you want to know more, I want to do a little more depth in the little update I posted to the same feed. But if you're curious about where Blessing is headed and Kinda Funny, we actually on the most recent OKBeast podcast episode, we dove into all of that. It was just an episode dedicated to updates on Blessing and what he's doing, what the future of OKBeast is, and as well as answering listener questions. So if you're curious about Blessing joining Kinda Funny or what's been going on lately, where OKBeast is headed in 2020, go listen to that episode on the OKBeast podcast feed. And then also, I said this in the Jumpmaster update I posted earlier today. I'm going to say it here too. We want to see more engagement from our Jumpmaster, our Apex community. Andrew and I sit down and record this in our spare time and really enjoy doing it. And I think to make the show even better and to take it to better places, I think having a two-way street with our community is going to be really cool. And I think that goes as far as you guys and all of you writing in, you know, questions every week or sending us feedback or reviews or whatever. All of that is super helpful. So we want to kind of open that dialogue going forward and kind of be in tune with you all and then vice versa. So if you guys could all be, you know, that would be cool. I'll stop there. Andrew, sorry, I just like went on a very long rant.
No.
Andrew, how are you doing, dude?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. Lots of Apex that's been had over the last couple months. I haven't played it like as religiously as I have before, just because there's new games that have come out. We kind of went through that little busy season where all the like fall games came out, and then we had some downtime where we could catch up on other stuff. And Apex was definitely in the mix there for me. But I've been doing good. I'm glad to be back. Glad to talk about Apex.
Me too. Yeah. Well, of course, Jumpmaster is a bi-weekly Apex Legends podcast. Each episode, join us as we discuss the latest news, tips, tricks, and experiences as we jump into the Apex games. This is episode 29. Andrew, let's get into the Apex check-in. We've got 25 days remaining on the current Battle Pass.
Yes.
And where are we at? I know a common thing that I want to bring up, me and you have been talking about this as we play, we miss King's Canyon.
Yeah. I think,
the current map is getting a little long in the tooth for me. Yeah. Where are you at with it?
I do enjoy the map quite a bit. There's a lot of open spaces, and I know that can be frustrating for some players just because maybe they're more used to like close quarters fights and stuff like that. But, it's definitely kind of evolved my gameplay, because King's Canyon, it still has like the big open spaces. But like this is way more vast, I feel like. Definitely had to adjust to maybe learning how to use the scout or, you know, a different long range weapon. I've gotten better at using the Kraber.
You were lighting people up the other night.
one shot, one kill, the last kill the other night. That was really fun.
We were on top of the Mirage Voyage and you had the Kraber. You got like, I think you got two picks and then we just ziplined down on top of them and got the win. It was great.
Yeah. I'll post that on my Twitter later. But yeah, so the map is fun. I've talked to some other people who are very, that play the game a lot and they're feeling the same thing. It's just like the season has kind of really dragged on a bit. And I think I'm hoping that the reason why it has is because there's like a really big update for season four.
I hope so. Like as far as like the map and King's Canyon, you think?
Yeah. Like I'd love to see like King's Canyon, like completely like kind of maybe like a reversed or something, or, you know, just something like fresh that'll kind of make it seem like a completely different map versus building a, you know, a map from the ground up, because I'm sure the World's End or World's Edge, I always forget which one it is.
I think it's World's Edge.
I'm sure like that map was already in development before the game. I actually guarantee you that map was in development before the game ever even came out.
Yeah. So, like, I think they had even said as much.
Yeah. So like they've had, this is all like, we're almost a year into this game actually, which I thought about today earlier when I was like, wow, I was like, man, we've had this game for almost a year. It
seems, I know. Like it, well, I think out, like, season four ago. Is going to line up with the anniversary, like the same day.
Yeah. Like,
I think that's what,
yeah, that seems is, about so. Right, to be honest. Yeah. 25 days, is a little less than a month. So, yeah, I mean, I like the map. I really do. I just, I need, it happens to me in like a lot of other multiplayer games that I play. It's the same map over and over again. You want something fresh. So I'm really hoping that King's Canyon makes a return and it's like evolved and changed and feels fresh and brand new, but also like familiar in certain aspects. So
yeah. I think they could do a lot of work over on like the eastern side of the map, you know, swamps, Hydro Dam, Repulsor. Yeah. Like I think some of those places are great, but that part of the map always felt a little disjointed to me compared to, you know, the transition from Airbase to Skull Town to Thunderdome. That side of the map always flowed really nicely. And I felt like that's not, the eastern side of the map always kind of felt a little disjointed in that way. I hope that there are improvements. I'd be kind of disappointed if they don't do anything with it and they just kind of, okay, season four, time to cycle in the old map.
Yeah,
I think it's with it lining up with the game's anniversary, I think we're going to be in for a big update. I hope like Skull Town and all that remains the same. And I'm sure it will. Like everybody loves Skull Town. Honestly, even if they just brought back King's Canyon and were like, here you go, I'd kind of just be okay with it because I miss playing King's Canyon.
Yeah,
I miss dropping Skull Town. I miss like running through Bunker in game and having crazy fights there. I miss like hot dropping into a Repulsor or Relay. Like,
yeah,
I miss that map a lot. Like that map is a lot smaller and I kind of miss that play style a bit.
Yeah, it's way more frantic. And like the matches go by a lot faster because it is smaller.
You think that that if they brought back King's Canyon, is Bridges going to be in the game or Cascades?
Remember got demolished. The whole, like Rampage thing that they did. Maybe that stays. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it'd definitely be interesting. I mean, maybe there's going to be some sort of those trailers that they've been doing where it kind of gives us like hints or details about like, you know, what's next. I know that they kind of talk about like they kind of did that in one of the trailers where I think they were on their way to like the new map. And like Mirage is like, well, you know, we'd still be there, but someone like knocked down the tower and all this stuff. And now this is why we're here. I don't know. But maybe like it's like they rebuilt it. Like it's different now.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember like a past episode, I said that the banners give the arena feel, but like, what if there's a crowd that's like watching and cheering, you know, like make it seem like more of like a tournament kind of thing. I know it's like, it's basically Hunger Games. Like that's what it is. So,
and I've said I've said time and time again, I'd love to see Thunderdome reworked to where it's an actual Thunderdome.
Yeah.
That you walk into with like a crowd.
Yeah.
Or maybe they do it over where Octane's arena was. I loved Octane's little area that place over there. Was that fun. Town takeover. Yeah.
Yeah.
But cool. Let's get into the housekeeping before we keep going. We're going to be talking about the Holiday Bash. We're going to be reviewing that and what we thought about the event, as well as talking about Respawn punishing players who are dashboarding out of ranked games. And we've got a bunch of listener questions to get through. So first, housekeeping. Thank you for reviewing us on iTunes. If you want to continue to do that, we will continue to read them off. NatCat13578 gives us a 5-star review saying, bro, 5 stars. This is legit amazing. Hope you guys continue to do well. Thank you so much, NatCat. We appreciate that. Gervairaj the God writes in 5 stars saying, I love your podcast. It helps me get better, even though people call me Thrash online. thank you for that review. And then we got a 1-star review saying, come on, why haven't you put out a new episode? Hey, we've been busy, all right? I hope that now we are back. Maybe you'll go and update that 1-star review. You know, that's a weird way to get somebody's attention, but I mean, I guess go off.
You're just putting a little fire in our butts, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I hope in Closo you will go and update that review now that we are back.
We're back.
Real life kind of hit hard, like I said, and we just had to take a break for a little bit, but we are back. Yeah. Very excited in the lead up to season 4. So thank you everybody for rocking with us and being a supportive community. Of course, you can check out the OK Beast podcast. That is our flagship show that releases every single Monday. It's a general gaming podcast. It runs about 90 minutes long. We talk about what we've been playing, news. We always have a topic of the show. And of course, we have a listener segment there as well. So go check out the OK Beast podcast. I know a lot of you have been checking it out and really enjoying it. So thank you for doing that. And then we've got a bunch of new stuff coming soon. Since Blessing left, we've kind of been refreshing OK Beast and have a lot of content, a lot of cool things coming. We're not announcing all that yet, but when we do, probably early February, OKBeast.com is the place to go for all of that, or YouTube.com/OKBeast. And lastly, we stream on Monday evenings at Twitch.tv/OKBeast now. This past Monday, I streamed with our buddy Ian and Brandon. We played Stardew Valley multiplayer. And then we switched over and played some League of Legends. I'm sure Apex Legends will be thrown into the mix as well soon. And if you want to support the show, support OK Beast, head over to patreon.com/OKBeast, where you can pledge us a few bucks a month in exchange for access to cool perks and bonus content. And lastly, Apex Legends was actually OK Beast's Game of the Year. If you want to hear more about that, go listen to our Game of the Year deliberations over on the OK Beast podcast feed. There's 2 episodes. They run about 3 hours each, and we had very different categories where we discuss various different games, such as best soundtrack, best moment, best narrative, best multiplayer game, and so on and so forth. And in that, we have our top 10 game of the year discussion, and Apex was our number one. So go check it out and see why. And also, I had a personal list on the website of my favorite games of the year, and Apex ranked pretty high. So go check out all of that stuff, okbeast.com. Thank you for letting me plug. Let's get into champion chat. Andrew, let's talk about the Holiday Bash. Let's review it. Yeah. I know we had the limited time mode, which is the Winter Express. We had the town takeover on World's Edge of the Mirage Voyage. We had cosmetics, all that stuff. Yeah. You want to talk about Winter Express first?
Yeah, that's the mode, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
So we played it a couple times. Mm-hmm, we did. I know that. I think you were probably at home when we played it, like in Virginia or whatever. But yeah, I liked that. It was, what is it, like 3 squads against each other? Yeah.
Yep. You all drop onto the train.
Yeah, you drop on the train. It's basically King of the Hill.
Yeah, essentially.
I like that. I like those kind of modes in games. Call of Duty has that a lot. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that each legend had their own unique loadout.
Yeah,
like predetermined loadout. That was kind of fun.
I did like that too, and it kind of forced you to play some new people, kind of based on their loadout. But you know, gives you a chance to check out their abilities if you haven't tried them before. But yeah, I liked it. There was a couple times when I played it where it seemed like there's some people that had like an advantage, and I don't know if it was like a strategy or whatever. But like a lot of people would hide up. Like before, say if you didn't get the train the first round, like they'd hide like in the mountains and then like they'd shoot you like while you're on the train. I don't know. I played like a match like that. It just seemed like really unfair, but it obviously worked out for them. And if the game lets you do it, then it's, you know, it's intentional. So
if they do bring back this mode, I would like to see them in between like the team fights. It was just like really slow.
Yeah.
Because you're just sitting on the train waiting for people to respawn. And I feel like that could have been handled better, like, or communicated better to the player as far as like, okay, this team's dead. They have X second. They have, you know, what, let's say 20 seconds till they respawn. I feel like that all of that wasn't very clear. And like, it was just like you would win a team fight and you're like, all right, cool, I guess we'll just sit here. And I don't know if that was because of just like the way the matches played out or if there were, if we were dealing with issues or not. I'm not sure, but it was, there was a few games like that that were kind of wonky and I'd like to see them iron that out next time. But overall, I think it was a solid foundation. I liked it. It was probably one of the most unique limited time modes they've done in Apex so far.
Yeah.
I mean, next to, I mean, I think Halloween was probably the most unique. I really like that Halloween event.
Yeah, that was fun. I know that event kind of got a little bit of backlash just because like a lot of people would become zombies and they just quit right away. So it's like not really that fun. It's not, they're not really seeing it through to the end, but like that Halloween event definitely had a lot of potential. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I loved the Voidwalker event. That was a lot of fun, like shotgun snipers. What was the other, like we had the Iron Crown that was solos.
Yeah, we had duos. We had, I think part of the Voidwalker event, we had that town takeover with the lab. That was really
fun. That was really cool. And then like they teased crypto there too, which was really cool. I actually never played duos at all. There's a lot of cool little events that they did. I think that this is probably, for me, it's definitely not my favorite. I think my favorite is still shotgun snipers.
Yeah, me too.
This is probably like my third favorite that they've done so far, like after the Halloween. I like the idea. I like King of the Hill. I think that's a cool thing that they did.
Me too. It kind of utilizes the map in a different way. You 100%. Kind of, you, when like the game mode totally dictates how you rotate throughout that map, and having King of the Hill, that just totally changes.
And they still had, and they had like that cool ability where like on the train tracks you could just redeploy. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gives you a different, you know, way to like get vantage points, or if you just want to drop on the train right away and just like try to take them out while they're still on there. But yeah,
very cool.
Yep.
Let's get into the town takeover, which is the Mirage Voyage. This is Mirage's giant airship. That is just a giant party bus in the sky.
Yeah.
Which shoots fireworks all the time that I constantly mistake
every single for
player
time.
Footprints. Whenever we're at train station or train yard, I always think somebody's on me, but it's the fireworks in the background. Drives me insane.
Yeah. You can hear those fireworks from like a bit, like a ways away. So
Yeah. But overall, like, I mean, we had a game. I think I only went to the Mirage Voyage once. Like,
it was actually, the game like, where
for
I
a significant
had
amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like went and I checked it all out. It was all super cool, but I just had never, I hadn't really dropped on it before. And like, it just like, I drop a lot of other places that aren't near that. And just map kind of ended there. And we went up and I was like, oh, let me go get the challenges done. Let me do all this. Let me check it out.
Yeah.
And we did that while we were looking for the other teams. And then we were up there for like a good 5-10 minutes just on that airship and kind of waiting for people to kind of close in.
Yeah,
on
the
us.
Circle was ending around that area, so it was kind of
so
nice.
So we just maintained high ground and
pretty much,
and I got to enjoy the Mirage Voyage.
Yes.
It's quirky. I like it. I think there was, you press the party button and like you start the party or whatever, and then not every time, but I think sometimes there's loot that drops.
Yeah,
which was fun, but it kind of seemed inconsequential, honestly. But it was a fun addition, right? Like these little.
Yeah.
I think the Octane Town takeover was, I really enjoyed that over on King's Canyon.
Yeah.
And even like the Voidwalker town takeover. But the Mirage Voyage, pretty fun. I like the idea. Like that's not something that I would have pictured, you know, when we talk about like changes to the map. Oh, how about a giant floating party bus? Like that's not something I would have thought of. And so kudos to the Respawn team and Apex teams for making that happen. Right.
100%.
And then how do you feel about like the limited time skins? Did you get any or?
I didn't buy any.
I got a few weapon skins that I liked. I think I had an alternator skin I liked or R99 skin. Like I didn't get any of the, I kind of wanted to get the, what was it? The, the polar bear skin, Gibraltar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to get that one. I just didn't end up getting it, but
yeah.
But yeah.
I thought about getting the scout skin. I thought that was kind of cool. It was like a nutcracker face.
I did get that actually.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did get that.
But yeah, I didn't get any of that stuff. I think when the Halloween event was up, they had that really cool, like Frankenstein, like Havoc gun skin. And I never even got that one either, which is the one I really wanted. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm kind of picky. I mean, you know, it's a free to play game, so they have to make their money somehow, and it's going to be through skins and cosmetics. But yeah, I'm pretty, because it can be pricey. Like most of those skins are like $5. Like I think like the lowest amount for like some of those gun skins are like $5. And then like the what's it called? The character skins are like 10 or 15 or something like that.
Sorry. Yeah, I think it's more. Yeah, I think it's on the more expensive end.
Yeah, I haven't been in the shop for a while, so like I don't remember exactly the price.
I think it works out to like $18 or something.
Yeah, like those legendary skins are like way more pricier. I think the polar bear skin is probably that.
The epic ones are a little more affordable. I think they're like $10 or something.
Yeah,
$12 maybe.
Yep.
I don't really spend a ton of time in the shop. I occasionally check it to see if I can use my tokens to get like to extend, like if I already have a skin unlocked, they have that whole thing where you can unlock another exclusive. Yeah. I rarely check that, but when I do, I'm like, okay. But yeah, I think I liked Pathfinder's heirloom set a lot. I wish I had the money to get it, or I hope that it just drops for me at some point during my Apex career, because now it's in random loot boxes. And so I'm hoping that one day I'll open it up and get it, because that's like the only heirloom set I really want is the one for Pathfinder. But
yeah,
I'll keep dreaming. Do you want to get into the news, Andrew?
Yeah, let's do it.
Respawn is going to punish players who dashboard out of ranked Apex games. So this is coming from Dexerto, from the writer Pedro Perez. I'm sorry. Respawn will punish players who dashboard out of ranked Apex games. That is the headline. And the article goes on, Apex players who retreat to the dashboard to avoid losing ranked points may not get away unscathed. Respawn senior designer Eric Hewitt revealed that the company is aware of the issue and can see players who abuse it to climb the ranked ladder. The revelation came in response to a player who asked about the proper way to report dashboard quitting. This is on a tweet. And Eric responded, no need to report it manually. We can see it on our end. Judgment Day will be coming. Smiley face.
So, and he capitalized Judgment Day. So you mean that, like, you know, that means like he's for real. I would like to like imagine like their PC or like their console just like blows up. They're like, if they're like cheating like this, but I mean, I don't know if they're cheating. They're just kind of like fudging the system, but
It's not quite cheating, but it still is like you're getting away. You're quitting without the consequence, exactly. Right? So it's kind of you need the consequence, I guess, you know. Yep. Otherwise it runs rampant like it is right now. So dashboarding, if you do that and you're listening to the show, maybe stop before you get banned or you know, I don't know, temp banned. I'm not sure, but I figured that was a pretty interesting piece of news this week. Let's get into the questions, actually, because I don't really have anything more to say about that. Josh Gallegos writes in at Video Game Bard. Much has changed with Apex Legends as season 3 begins to twilight, but most importantly is the game's incredibly rapid rise in popularity. I recently heard a report from the Giant Bomb editors that Fortnite has in fact begun a decline in popularity over the last few months, whereas Apex Legends has in fact grown immensely and even looks to be gaining in on Fortnite. Such a shift will surely change Respawn's own focuses and perhaps even stranglehold any plans they may have for future games like Titanfall 3, though certainly Star Wars Jedi is still coming. My question is, do you think Respawn will capitalize on the popularity and increase the content and modes and Apex going into 2020? And would you prefer that they do that instead of focus on potential new games like a Titanfall 3? Where do you fall on this, Andrew?
So here's the interesting thing about this. And thank you, by the way, Josh, for the question. So I remember that when Jedi Fallen Order came out, what was that, like November 15th or something, that they were saying, I think it was like a week later, they either tweeted it out or IGN reported on it, but they were saying like a majority of that team, I'm not sure number wise, but a lot of them were going to be coming over to like the Apex team,
mm-hmm,
to like kind of give some more beef to the team, probably push some more content.
I remember, I don't know if it was the senior environmental artist or just yeah.
But you remember that, right?
I do.
Like,
and I remember
tweeted
like,
it or something. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
I remember several people saying like, I worked on Jedi Fallen Order and now I'm going to the Apex team. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. And I remember that was specifically from an environmental artist. So I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Especially like when you think about like World's Edge, like it was a totally new tile set, totally new assets. Like that was a huge undertaking, I'm sure, because they didn't reuse anything from King's Canyon. Yeah. And so having more environmental artists on the team is really good for pushing out new content to the maps. And I'm sure there were way more than just those roles that shifted yeah. over, you know? So it's very exciting for Apex.
Yeah.
I think Titanfall 3 will eventually still come. I think right now, like Apex is riding its wave. It's not going to last forever. So they have to capitalize on it while they can, and make as much money as they can during this time. And
yeah,
I think, you know, the game, even when the game declines, like it eventually will. They'll still like dedicate resources to it and continue making the game great. And I have faith in the Respawn team for that.
Yeah.
I do think eventually like they should be able to switch to other projects and like Titanfall 3. I know Star Wars Jedi is a totally separate team. They're already working on the sequel for that. Like I don't think Apex is cannibalizing their other projects. But it is an interesting question, right? Like
there are
finite resources at studios like this, and you have to make decisions and compromises. And so do I think Apex is probably getting more content and modes in 2020? Probably. Do I think that they're losing focus on other projects? I don't think so. I think their company is too big to rely on one game. And I think that they have to continue to invest in sequels and games like Star Wars. And like Apex alone can't keep a ship afloat, right? Like it's certainly you know, a rising tide raises all ships for sure, but they have to just keep going, I think, and focusing on other projects. And
yeah,
but I think in the short term, yes, I think you're right. I think Apex will get a lot of attention, especially coming up on their anniversary in February. I think the next few months will be pretty big for Apex, and probably throughout the rest of the year, and probably after that, I imagine, you know, granted I can't see in the future, but I imagine things will start to decline. They'll probably ramp up into production on like the PS5 and Xbox, Xbox Series X and stuff like that, getting the game ready for those. Because I imagine there was an interesting question that was brought up on our Discord, and I think we're going to talk about it on the OKBeast podcast sometime, but people were, in summation, asking, like, do we think Apex is going to switch over, like port over to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, or because both of those platforms are backwards compatible, will they just, you know, remain backwards compatible titles?
Yeah.
And I think as a games as a service game, I think they have to port it over. I think they have to, because that's like where their future is, right? Like eventually PlayStation and Xbox, as far as development resources, will prioritize next gen games over backwards compatible titles, right?
Like, yeah.
You have to, if you're a games as a service, you have to switch over eventually. And there are benefits to that too. You get new access to new tech. You get access, you can push your engine further since the lowest common denominator is now at a higher level. So I think Respawn's going to be focused on that as well in 2020. Yeah.
But I mean, you have to assume they're thinking about all of this.
Oh yeah. 2020 is going to be big for Apex, I think.
I know that sometimes it's hard for people to have patience, but like, I think, to be honest with you, like the one thing I love about Respawn is it almost feels like they kind of are just like, even though they're owned by EA, it's like, let us just do what we want to do. And like, they kind of just do it. So I appreciate that, because to be honest, I'm not a huge EA fan. But I'm glad that like that Respawn as a whole kind of seems like they're just like, hey, let us just handle this because like we know what we're doing. And like, I felt like they did that with Star Wars. Fallen Order didn't feel like an EA game to me, which was nice. And like, you have to assume that they probably already have like ideas for Titanfall 3. And like, I know Titanfall 2, I don't want to say it was like a bomb or anything like that, but like, you know, EA released it in between like, what was it, Call of Duty and like Battlefront 1 or whatever.
Battlefield
Battlefield yeah Battlefield
wasn't 1. Battlefield 5
I think it was Battlefield,
Battlefield 1.
It was Battlefield 1, because that was 2016 or 15.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, I can't remember. But, like, they have to think smart. So if they were to do something like that with Titanfall 3, then obviously, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's dead on arrival, but it's going to do the same.
I don't think, specifically Titanfall 3, I don't think we see that in the next 2 years. I think that's pretty far down the line.
But I bet you anything, like, they definitely have ideas for it, you know?
For sure.
Like, a lot of people, I don't want to say, like, Titanfall 2 is, like, this cult game, like, this cult classic or anything, but, like, you know, it does have...
It has a lot of fanfare.
Yeah, it does have a dedicated community, and, like, I still know people that play the game online, and so, like, you know, there's people there that really love the game, and, like, if you haven't played that campaign, you definitely should play the Titanfall 2 campaign. It's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean... I was thinking about this earlier today too, where it was like, man, what if season four, like, they're, you know, or 2020, they're gonna enable crossplay, like, summer 2020.
That's my big, my big item.
Summer 2020, like, hey, crossplay is coming to Apex Legends. Like, now you can play with people on PC or Xbox or whatever. Like, maybe that's something like that they're really.
And that's something that
on.
Fortnite has and is a huge advantage.
Yeah.
So I think if Apex can get that, oof.
Yeah.
It'd then be so good.
They just, yeah, there's a lot of potential. So, yeah, I guess patience is another thing that we always have to remember. So, I bet you Titanfall 3 is on their mind. Same with Jedi Fallen Order 2 or whatever.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Josh, for that question. Next one comes from Isaiah at Emulizer 2. Isaiah asks, what weapons from Titanfall 2 do you all think should be brought over to Apex that have yet to be brought over? Andrew and I were talking about this before the show. A lot of the major ones have already been converted over to Apex Legends, right? Yeah. So most of the, like, normal weapons are kind of in the game already. Like, all the heavy hitters and even a lot of the side weapons are in the game already.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, the EM4 Cold War, it's like a grenadier weapon where it shoots out grenades. And I think from my memory, and I also read on the wiki, I think that gun doesn't do as much damage as other grenade launchers. It was very much used as, like, to kind of keep enemies in one position and keep them from being able to rotate. Like,
yeah,
it was a very heavy, high pressure weapon. I think something like that could be really cool in Apex. You know, obviously you don't want the projectiles in that gun to have as much damage as, like, a regular grenade, but, like, somewhere in between, right? Like, you can put pressure on people and I think, like, having a gun that lobs, like, has that lobbing arc, like that actual, like, projectile, that is kind of more affected by gravity. Like, I think that could be really cool and kind of add a new aspect to how Apex is played and, especially, like, mechanically, right? Like, we don't really have a gun that functions that way. And that could be really cool, especially, like, with in a lot of the bigger cities where, like, there's a lot of cover, like, being able to lob, like, a little, grenade projectile over a wall, like, with the gun, and I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of potential there.
So here's kind of a cool thing that I literally just thought about, but, like, what if, you know, sure, they can add more guns or, like, swaps them out, you know, kind of rotate things. Like, they've done that with hops before, like hop ups. What if they had, like, a new grenade, like, for next season that you can throw it and, like, for a very, very small period of time, like, you, if it lands next to that person, like, it'll have their outline, you know, kind of like a Bloodhound ability, like, inner grenade, but it's, like, only for a couple seconds. Like, you know where they are for, like, a couple seconds or something. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Or, like,
kind of like, I mean, we see, like, the way that Crypto's drone kind of pulses people, like,
yeah,
that sort of outline,
something like that, with a grenade, like, 2 seconds or whatever. I know that cool. We've talked about this before in the past, but, like, we have kind of had, like, a wish list of like, what was it, like, an energy type, like, SMG or something like that, like, something cool. Like, I know, like, we have the Havoc rifle that, you know, is fast if you have the turbocharger, and then there's the, like, the Devotion, same thing, like, that kind of ramps up. But, like, what if it's like a 99, but it's like an energy gun instead? Or I thought about it lately, like, what if there's, like, another SMG, but it's, like, a little bit of a slower fire rate, but, like, it's higher damage.
Yeah. I mean, the Elstar kind of falls. It's kind of like a energy SMG. Not really, though. Like,
yeah.
I mean, but yeah, I think, like, stuff, I think more of, like, a tamed down SMG with energy could be cool.
And I know also people
like
still
I
want
to see flash grenades, stun grenades, like
yeah,
maybe not stun grenades, flash grenades though. I think could be really cool. I'd love to see that.
Yeah,
but
for sure,
that's kind of where my mind goes to as far as like Titanfall 2 weapons and just weapons in general.
Yeah.
But Eric Feister. @E_Feast16. So I'm guessing it's Eric Feister, writes in, how would you guys like to see the current meta of the game changed or shaken up in regards to legends and weapons? Do you think Respawn should have cycles where lesser used legends and weapons become top tier for a brief time? Personally, I'm not looking for balance. That's what makes the game fun. But I think a shifting meta every couple of months would prevent the game from becoming stale. Hopefully I get to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Eric also had a couple questions that we're going to save for next week. Thank you for those, Eric. I think there is something to be said for mixing things up. You know, I think there are plenty of games out there that are during certain seasons of the game, they are unbalanced, right? Like, I've been playing League of Legends a lot lately, and there is a new character in that called Aphelios, who is so broken late game and does so much damage. And even though it's not balanced, it makes the game interesting and dynamic, right? Like it keeps you coming back. It keeps you in the conversation. Even though they need to nerf that character, there is something about a game being willing to shake up the meta.
Sure.
For the sake of keeping things fresh, right? Like kind of like what Eric's talking about here.
Yeah.
And I think there is value to that. You know, I think a lot of that comes when I'm sure they're going to introduce a new weapon soon. That'll naturally come with that as they introduce that to the game. Like that, like we saw it with the charge rifle, like that game, that gun was in the zeitgeist for like 3 weeks and
it was OP.
Was insane. And I love that gun. And like, I will always remember that time when that gun was so incredibly powerful
and like didn't take like any ammo. Like you could just have 100 mm-hmm. shots basically.
And
like,
yeah. And the game, I mean, the game was still fun then, right? Like it's kind of part of that. Like, you know, you're kind of working it out and seeing how things mold together. And I think Apex will continue to do that. I think as we get deeper into the seasons, we always get to this place where there's kind of a lull and it's kind of like a little stale. That's just because like everything's kind of balanced now. They've kind of just been letting things ride out. Right.
Yeah.
Like I think once season 4 comes out, there'll be a new hero, there are a new legend, there'll be a new weapon, and we'll kind of get that again. And then it'll follow the same cycle. It's done that over and over and over again, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, I like what he said where he was like, you know, he's not looking for balance. That's what makes the game fun. Like, you know, we can use the charge rifle example again. Like, that thing was really overpowered, and like, you didn't have to use like any... I mean, you had to use ammo, but like it was only, you know, one at a time versus now where it's like three or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that was like if you didn't have that gun and like you had to fight someone against it, like it wasn't something I was looking forward to having to deal with. But like it's still
interesting, though.
Yeah. It shakes up how you have to deal with it. It shakes up your gameplay. So like little things like that are always interesting. And yeah, I mean, like. I don't know. Obviously, you don't want like one legend to be like super OP where like if that squad has that one legend, like they're going to be like for sure, like guaranteed top five or something like that. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so many different things that can happen in a game that can make it interesting or change it in a little way or whatever. But I think for right now, the meta is in a good spot, but I could definitely see it evolving even more with season 4, depending on what we get, or if we're going to a different map, maybe we don't even get King's Canyon. Like,
yeah,
maybe it's a map that's like 100% like indoors or something. Like there's no outside, or it's like a massive spaceship in space, or I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, but
yeah, I think I could see a new map every other season. That's kind of like the trajectory they're on right now. Right.
Yeah.
So maybe season 5, we get that new map. Season 4, we go back to King's Canyon.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Next question comes from Brian Lords. Thank you for the question, Brian. Brian emailed us saying, one of the things that drew me to play Apex was the pro players on Twitch. I haven't gamed in years and I got great tips and just enjoyed watching the gameplay. Here's my question. Why am I frustrated with what feels like an overreaction from the pro players and the content creators about skill-based matchmaking. I feel a bit defensive for Apex Legends and the product they are making that as part of its design needs to appeal to a broader base. I would not continue to play if I was dropped constantly into the same game as these dudes who do it all day long. That being said, I think skill-based matchmaking should be recalibrated or gameplay evolved to work with the pro players, but for me, I play an hour or two here or there. That is fine with me. I'm just playing to have a good time after my three kids go to bed. I'm not looking to play with the best of the best, though it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
This is a good question. I have a lot of thoughts about this. I have a lot of thoughts. First of all, before I say anything, massive amounts of respect to all the streamers and the pro players who make Apex Legends what it is. I'm kind of with you, Brian. I'm kind of like a little defensive too. And I think it boils down to a few things. Like, number one, Andrew, I feel like we've been fine in skill-based matchmaking. We've continued to get wins. We've continued to have good plays.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't felt like it's affected me all that much. Sure, it's I'm not getting four wins a night anymore, but I mean, most sessions will get a win at least, you know what I mean? Like, and I understand that as a content creator, you want to make things that people want to watch. And that naturally is, oh, go check out this YouTube video where, you know, freaking, let's say Tanner slays. He drops a 20 bomb, right? That's fun to watch. And that is harder to achieve with skill-based matchmaking naturally. Like, whereas before you see, I mean, and granted, I think Tanner has dropped plenty of 20 bombs since skill-based matchmaking came out. So I'm not specifically talking about him, but the idea in general, I think Twitch creators, content creators as a whole, want to make exciting content. And when you're watching pro players or players that are competing at high levels, you want to see them slay out. You want to see them get a lot of kills. Yeah. That is harder to do when they are matched up with people of the same skill.
Yeah.
And so I understand that from a content creator's perspective, you know, that kind of stinks. But at the same time, I'm like, that, like, catering to that sort of, I guess, philosophy kind of feels ingenuine to me as far as a game goes. Like,
yeah,
you should you should just operate within the environment that you are operating within. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
if everybody else is having to do this, okay, so do you. And I'm sorry that it's harder and all this stuff, and maybe it's harder to entertain. And I just feel like I'm kind of with Brian here. I'm kind of coming to the defense of Apex a little bit. I think, like, we all have to deal with it. I think it's just something we're gonna have to get used to.
Yeah.
I don't think that we need to cater to the content creators. Speaking as a content creator myself, granted, I am sitting in front of a microphone. People are not necessarily watching me slay out, although you can, twitch.tv/OKBeastNow, Monday nights. But yeah, so I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah. Like, I'm okay. Like, I get it. Like, I understand where the frustration lies, certainly.
For sure.
I think I just disagree.
I've been in those games where it's like, I'm just getting dunked on by someone. And maybe they're like a pro player or just someone who plays a lot more than I do. And like, yeah, it's frustrating, but it's like, that's the game. Like, I don't have enough time to play it as much as they do. They clearly have the time. So, I mean, it is what it is. And like, this has happened to me before in Siege, where it's like, if I'm doing just what's it called? Just a casual mode or whatever. Like, I'll be playing against like a level 243 character, like, player who... levels in that game don't really matter, but that person, just by that like level amount, like 200, let's say 243, mm-hmm. like they have played that game probably almost 1500 hours or like 1000 hours. It's like they know the game. It's like if they dunk on me, I'm not gonna get as upset, because it's like I know that they're better than me. If I get a kill on them, I'm going to be happy. Like, yeah, that's awesome. I just
killed someone. So would you want Siege to have skill-based matchmaking where you're only playing against, you know, people of the equal caliber?
For that specific game, I feel like yes, because like I don't know. It's hard to explain because I'm not in that state of mind right now. But like, yeah, I think that I would want skill-based matchmaking for Siege, just because, and especially in casual, just because like that's the mode that most people play. Like, for now in Apex and in Siege, you're more than likely going to have a better time playing the game if you play in ranked mode, because like you're going to be playing people like around the same rank as you. Yeah. And so hopefully, you know, based on the rank, they're around the same skill level as you. So
sure.
I mean, like today I watched this like every day. Mm-hmm. He plays Apex all the time.
I watch this a lot as well. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Today he took on 3 teams by himself with his 2 squad mates down and he won. Now they like he literally ended that fight and he was like, man, that guy is probably really upset. Cause like he was fighting a guy and it seemed like it was pretty an equal match and he just had the upper hand based on skill. Mm-hmm. And he got the guy, shredded him, and it was over. And he like it was, I don't know. I'll have to find the clip and maybe show you later, Alex, but like it was pretty impressive. Like he was taking on a lot of people by himself. And that's just because he literally plays that every single day. And that's mm-hmm. all he does is play Apex. So like I can see the frustration where it's like, I got to play against someone who's just so much better than me. And like, this is just not fun, but it's like, that's the name of the game. Like that's how everything works. Like if you're the more experience you have, the better you add at it. So, but I get the frustration. I know that there's frustration there. Cause I've been that person. I've been frustrated before. So,
yeah. And looking at like skill-based matchmaking, like I feel like a lot of people look at it like a punishment on the higher skilled players. Like, they're yeah. in tougher matchups because of their skill level.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like how, like, please don't roll your eyes, everybody. I'm sorry. That's how, like, I shouldn't even say, I regret saying it already. That's how sports work. Right. and Apex is an esport, right? Like,
yeah.
And just like, I'll say that's how competition works. I feel better about saying that. Right. Yeah. Like, naturally, if you are better at something, you're going to have to elevate your skill because you are going to start being matched up with people who are also good.
Yeah.
And I think that just leads to people getting better. And I think if you're constantly in unfair matchups all day and you are the person, like you're getting 20 kills, but like the person you're killing has played 5 minutes of the game. Like, yeah, it's fun to get kills like that, but like, it's not really fair to the person on the other end. Right. Like yeah. if you've put in 500 hours into Apex, they're just joining up. It's like, oh, okay. Like that's what skill-based matchmaking is preventing, right?
Yeah.
Like, and granted, it doesn't always feel that way. Like it, yeah. like Andrew said, sometimes it feels like you're playing a pro, but yeah. it could just be like that's you're like within that range of skill, and yeah. they put you together. And I'm sure it's not a perfect system. I'm sure it's flawed, like many yeah. systems.
And everyone has their good and bad days when it comes to gaming. Like I'll have my exactly. days where I'm just like dookie, and I'm like, all right, well, it's just not my day today.
Yeah, and it's like maybe when I'm like on, I could have won that matchup, but I'm not today. So yeah.
And I've had those too. Moments where I've just straight up dunked on someone, and I was like, I've verbally said I feel bad that I literally just took a dunk.
Oh yeah, I've played with you before. Like, I feel bad. I'm like I don't.
Yeah.
So let's push like, in.
There's a little bit of sympathy for those kind of players, but yeah, I mean, like I get the frustration, but it's also like, that's the name of the game. Like, that's just kind of how it is. So
yeah, somebody is always going to be unhappy, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of what kind of matchmaking, yeah. like
trust
the
me,
people on the higher end are going to be unhappy, or the people on the low end are going to be unhappy.
Trust me when I say this, I'm a very competitive person. So like when I lose, I really do not like to lose, but like sometimes that is just how it is and you just got to move on. So
we've been losing a lot in yeah. League of Legends lately, Andrew.
I'm not very good at League of Legends. So yeah, I know that, but Viss said this the other day. I know I bring up Viss a lot. If you're in the Discord, I talk about him all the time. He's just a really good Apex player. He's just like an all around, like really good dude. But he said this the other day. He's like, he was playing with a team. One of his teammates went down and just immediately quit. Like didn't even give like him a chance to like get up. And he was like, man, like maybe if that guy just stuck around, I would have been able to get him, you know, like get him up mm-hmm. and he would have had another chance, you know, like, and he was just talking about how, like, sure, it sucks. You know, like you're downed or like maybe you've been killed and someone's got to revive you. But like the thing is, like you're always going to have another chance to improve yourself, you know. And I know that people just want to get into the next match. Like, I totally understand that. But like, you know, he's just saying like your teammates can always give you another chance to like succeed. I don't know. It was mm-hmm. a nice little whatever, you know, word that he said. So I thought that was nice of him to say, just keep doing it. That's all you got to do. Just keep going.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Last question. comes from Andy Davies at Flashy Andy. Andy writes in, what do you want to see in season four? Also, will we ever see season four since it seems like it's now perpetually week 13 of season three? Andy, in short, I think we will see season four and we're going to save your question. We were already planning next episode. We're doing our season four wish list. So we're going to answer all of that. Yeah. I'll say this. I think we talked about crossplay. That is on my list. As well as, you know, a couple like solos, duos, that kind of stuff. Yeah. We'll get into it a lot next week, on our season four wish list, which also I want to invite people to write in with their season four wish list.
Yeah.
Tweet us at OKBeastNow, or you can tweet me at It's Van Aken and Andrew at Papa Drew Bear. Or if you don't have Twitter, you can email us with the subject line Jumpmaster Podcast question. And you can email that to hello@okbeast.com. We want to hear from you. What are your season four wish lists? We also want to, if you have any other questions that you want us to talk about on the show, send all of those there. That really helps us out. Makes the show more fun and lively. And yeah, let's keep doing this. I've very much enjoyed all of these questions that we've gotten this week. Thank you, everybody who took time to write in. Brian Lords, thank you for your many questions. We will get to your other two next episode. I think that's going to do it, Andrew. I think this is the end of episode 29. Of course, follow us on Twitter where I just mentioned a second ago. Review and subscribe to us on iTunes. Thank you for doing that. We will read them off if you do that. And then you can support us on patreon.com/okbeast. Join our Discord, discord.com/okbeast. Or I'm sorry, okbeast.com/discord. That should pull it up for you. Don't be a turd. If you join our Discord and you're a turd, you will get banned. All right? And don't forget, new episodes of this show come out every other Friday. The next episode of Jumpmaster will release on January 24th. Don't forget OK Beast Podcast every Monday. Check it out. That's going to do it. Andrew, thank you for joining me.
Yeah.
This has been episode 29 of Jumpmaster. Stay legendary.
This is my favorite part.